Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio is Edie Weinstein, and her company is called By Divine Design. I'm Edie. Welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Wonderful, and I'm thrilled to be here. I don't remember how we connected, but I think someone I knew was on your show, and I said, ooh, I want to be on too. So that's how we connected a few months ago.
Yes, and, you know, that is what is so cool about relationships, both kind of live and inspired by technology, that it's easy to reach out. And I love the fact that you did reach out, and I connected with you on LinkedIn and said, wow, this woman has done a lot in her life. I love your AKA, being the Bliss Mistress. I'm going to start there. I'm one of the four girls. I'm comfortable asking questions. And I'm like, now wait a minute. This entrepreneur is AKA Bliss Mistress. We've got to find out what that's all about. So let's start there. Tell me more.
Okay. Well, Joseph Campbell was one of my inspirations, who talked about the idea of following your bliss. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool to follow your bliss, but if I'm following something, it's still something outside of me. So I said, what would it be like to BYOB, be your own bliss? So I created a workshop around that. And as I was walking into the room where the workshop was being held, one of the women that was in the class said, oh, you're the bliss master. You're going to help us, you know, master our bliss. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you know, that was, the workshop went well. And when I got home, I called a friend and I was telling him about it. And he says, oh, no, not bliss master, bliss mistress. And, you know, and he was all the way cross country in San Francisco. He was a sweetie of mine at the time. And we've since remained friends. This was like 2007, 2008, something like that. And he says, but if you're going to call yourself that, you better be living it. So I want to hear on a daily basis what you're, you know, how you're living your bliss. So that's what I decided, was that I'm going to teach people how to live their bliss. And bliss looks different. I mean, for you, bliss could be something totally different than it is for me. But claim it. I encourage people to claim it. And as a result of that, I wrote a book called The Bliss Mistress Guide to Transforming the Ordinary into the Extraordinary. And they're chicken soup for the soul kind of stories that, you know, people learn, I think, best, well, in some ways, they learn best by hearing someone else's story and say, oh, yeah, I can do that too. So I like inspiring people to live their best blissful lives. So that's where she came from.
Wow. Well, tell me, you know, and you did say you were inspired by Joseph Campbell. Bliss is not a word that in the business world I hear a lot. Passion I hear all the time. You know, even in the academic environment when they're talking about business, they'll often say, well, you've got to be passionate because you're going to put in a lot of hours. But bliss is not something I hear as much. So what's your definition? Even though you said that everyone can sort of have a different viewpoint on it, what's your definition of bliss versus passion versus, you know, high energy level or being at peace with yourself?
Right. Well, they may be synonymous, but when I think of bliss, I ask people, what lights you up from the inside? What turns you into a human sparkler? Because most of us are taught that joy, that happiness, that success, even passion is an external thing. And I believe that it's internal. Yeah, it's fed by the people around us. Yes, if we have what I call yay-sayers as opposed to naysayers in our lives, we're more reinforced to do. But it's got to come from the inside. So bliss to me is something that bubbles up from the inside, like seltzer water or champagne or, you know, sparkling cider, whatever it is. It's kind of bubbles up inside of you. Passion and purpose might feel a little different. I remember reading something that Elizabeth Gilbert said about, I'm pretty sure it was, about people getting frustrated with the idea of having to find their passion and purpose, because it means that somehow they're lacking if they don't find it. So she encourages curiosity. So for me, curiosity is part of that too. That if you don't know what your passion and purpose is, what are you curious about? What do you go, you know, I wonder how, I wonder if, you know, what can I do with this? So I ask those questions of myself every day, where I say, okay, what do I want to do today? How do I want to be in the world? So that, you know, and those are business questions. You know, innovative businesses innovative business people are always thinking of ways to make what they do better, easier, more productive, more lucrative. How do we reach more people? So that could be blissful.
Wow, what a wonderful segue into the definition from the definition into business. That's great, because a lot of the listeners are entrepreneurs and they sort of tune in to understand who is the person behind the business. And I just loved how you segued into that. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about your background, because I think it follows what you just talked about in terms of what am I curious about, how do I want to be, what difference can I make. You were involved in terms of entrepreneurial, co-publishing a magazine, a monthly magazine, where you interviewed, people hear about it all the time, Wayne Dwyer, you know, the Ben and Jerry folks, Shirley MacLaine, Kenny Loggins. And that was for a 10-year period. How was that working with a partner, you know, being responsible for a monthly magazine, contacting, you know, people that you may or may not have known, and, you know, that's really entrepreneurial. So talk to us a little bit about how that worked.
Right. Well, sometimes it worked well, sometimes it didn't. I used to say that the magazine was one of the best or worst things that ever happened to my marriage. My husband and I founded Visions Magazine in the Philadelphia area in 1988, and we published it till 1998, 6 months before he died. We sold the magazine because I couldn't do it myself. So he was the designer, and this is back then when it was all cut and paste, not on computers. You know, we used X-Acto knives.
Oh, my
cut and paste magazine.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine that.
Yeah. My favorite part of it was the interviews. My least favorite was the ad sales. So we were a two-person operation. Occasionally, we'd have a salesperson, you know, an ad salesperson with us, but mostly it was the two of us. So we had to learn from the ground up how to publish a magazine in an era, again, when it was mostly manual work. And the part of it that I loved, as I said, was interviewing everybody from Wayne Dyer, who I interviewed twice, actually, once with our magazine and once with another freelance job. Ram Dass, I interviewed him three times over the years. He was amazing to interview. Shirley MacLaine, as I mentioned, Grover Washington Jr., Kenny Loggins, who else? Bernie Siegel, Jack Canfield, you know, Chicken Soup for the Soul creator, Mark Victor Hansen, co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul. There probably wasn't anybody in the transformational field that I didn't have a chance to interview that I wanted to. And as I mentioned to you, many years later, in 2008, I had the opportunity to interview the Dalai Lama. And that was a dream into reality interview that got seed planted for back then when we had the magazine. So there was a learning curve for all of it. And I look back, and I still have copies of them all these years later. I still have copies of the magazine. I don't know if they're worth anything, but they are to me. And I look back and I say, wow, look at what I got to do. So you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice, even though some parts of running my own business, you know, for those who are listening that have their own businesses, whether they're a solopreneur like I am now, or whether they work in partnership or a large company, you have to have the enthusiasm for it, or it's not going to work. You know, you got to love it. You got to love at least parts of it. So that's the part that I loved was, you know, was the interviews.
Totally cool. And I'm glad that you mentioned that experience of interviewing the Dalai Lama. Before we got started, you talked a little bit about that process. But I wanna go back to, at what point in your life did you realize you were an entrepreneur? And what were some of the influences that kind of got you to realizing you were an entrepreneur?
Right.
Because we've heard kind of the results, but what were the influences?
Well, the influences actually were my parents, my mother more than my father. My father had full-time jobs when I was growing up. My mother had a series of work-at-home part-time jobs while my sister and I were young. Mm. She was an Avon representative. She was a gate guard at our pool. She made doll clothes for a woman named Mrs. Handy, which I thought was pretty cool, you know, that here she was doing handiwork for a woman named Mrs. Handy. She was also a writer for our local newspaper. She wrote the gossip column, like who got married and who graduated from high school.
You're kidding.
Stuff like that.
Wow.
And it didn't occur to me till I was an adult that I said, wow, she set the example for being a serial entrepreneur. And then when my sister and I were old enough to be latchkey kids, then she worked full-time as a switchboard operator at Sears. And my dad was a milkman and a bus driver. So he was a SEPTA bus driver until he retired in 1989, something like that. So my parents were the role models for me for so many things. But that, you know, and the resilience that's necessary, the commitment that's necessary, the accountability that's necessary, they were teachers of that for me. So when I realized that I wasn't, you know, an entrepreneur, it was when we had the magazine, obviously. But then after Michael died, I became a freelance journalist for the next version, the people that we sold the magazine to. I wrote for them for a number of years, and then other publications. So my role was as a writer, a speaker, an interfaith minister. When my husband died, he was going to seminary, so I took his place in the class, did the work, and got ordained instead. So that's part of my entrepreneurship, too, is doing wedding ceremonies, baby blessings, funerals, and the like. So I am, as I said, a serial entrepreneur, but I'm also what I call a conscious entrepreneur, that I'm in it for both the income and the outcome.
Punch it as like in fight, but punch. Like, okay, is that right?
I'm a conscious entrepreneur.
Oh, conscious. Okay.
Conscious.
Okay.
I'm trying to reconcile that with being the bliss mistress.
And I'm thinking, you know, it's the 40th, anniversary of the Rocky movie. So I am.
Conscious entrepreneur. Conscious. So I'm in it for both the income and the outcome. Now, here's something that your listeners might want to know about. Somebody asked me recently, what are the three ingredients? Was it you? Somebody said, what are the three ingredients that go into your work as a business person? I said, well, first of all, it's got to be, I've got to be of service. Second of all, it's got to use my creative abilities. And third, I've got to earn a good income. And they said, no, switch it up. What if you were to make the first, it was my agent that said that. What if you were to making a good living the first one and then also being of service? And I thought, oh, no, how can I do that? She said, if you're making a good living, you can be of greater service. You can donate money. You can be, you can help people in ways that maybe you couldn't if you weren't supporting yourself first. So I encourage anybody out there that wants to launch their own business, there is nothing shameful about wanting to make a good living for your time, your energy, your services, because when people are hiring you, they're not just hiring you for that day or that one job.
Right.
They're hiring you for
right.
all of your years of experience and training and expertise and heart and soul that you put into this. So hopefully that will help people to switch that order around, you know, with what they do.
Absolutely. Edie, clearly there is love behind what you do and energy behind what you do. There may be moments where you're discouraged, or you maybe when you're in transition between one serial entrepreneurial activity and another, what is a quote or a value system that kind of keeps you motivated in times when you might be challenged, or, you know, helps you preserve that high end bliss of where you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I talked a bit about this before the show, and it's a quote that came to me either through meditation or a dream a few years ago. And when I asked what it meant, God, the universe, spirit, whatever, said, you'll know. So what it is that I'm not just an optimist, but I'm an optimistic, OPTI-MYSTIC, who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. So when I'm bumping up against resistance, whether it's in my own monkey, you know, chattering monkey mind, or someone else saying, nah, I'm not going to, you know, you asked for this, but nah, I'm not going to do it, or not getting a job that I want, or not getting a writing assignment that I want, I look at that and say, all right, what are the possibilities here? I may not know the reason why something happens until long after the fact, but if I can look at the possibilities instead of feeling distressed over not getting what I want, then I'm better able to readjust. Think about all of the times that you, and for your listeners too, have wanted something and it hasn't worked out the way you thought it should, and something even better came out of it that you could ever imagine. That I put that to you when there's a disappointment. Like, okay, there's a reason for this. What can I learn from this? How can I use that as a launching pad to move on to the next, you know, the next best thing in my life? And the answer usually comes pretty quickly. It shows up.
Right.
So that works. Yeah.
It does show up. Evie, I know
absolutely.
That some of the listeners are kind of wondering, how can they get in touch with you? And so I'd love for you to share the best way for them to learn a little bit more about you and get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Well, my website is optimistic, OPTI-MYSTI. Is it optimistical or optimistic? Let me check here. Let me double check. Isn't that funny that I can't even remember my own website sometimes? I think it's optimistical. Let me try it again. OPTI-mystical. It's optimistical.com. OPTI-MYSTICAL.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'm very active there. I think people can tell more about you from Facebook than they can even a dating profile. So if people go on my Facebook page, Evie Weinstein, they can see what, you know, my worldview is. And as an entrepreneur, we each have our worldview. We each have a way of perceiving what's going on around us. And usually that informs our business model. You know, and mine is very creative, colorful, open, flexible, spontaneous, curious, what else? High energy, inclusive. So you'll know that about me by going on the Facebook page and see, you know, and seeing how I interact with her. I'm also on LinkedIn. Again, Evie Weinstein, EdieWeinstein.
Well, speaking of that, and I'm glad that you shared, you know, you kind of highlighted Facebook, getting to know the person, the world view, and how that informs the entrepreneurial style. I did want to bring up that because you are a serial entrepreneur and you're in the creative field and you are conscious of the importance of business, you know, running a business, creating income, owning the fact that income is important. How do you come up with some of what I'm calling really cool ideas, like some of your workshops where people cuddle, which isn't, you know, quite related to writing and editing, or you help people with, you know, be your own, the BYOB, which
B-Y-O-B,
is not
be
your own model,
yeah.
But, right, be your own quiz. Have sort of these different activities almost in different corners, not that life is about corners, but in different areas that, you know, as one person.
Well, first of all, the cuddle party is a workshop that I talked to you about that was created by somebody else. Reed Mihalko and Marsha Baczynski were two relationship coaches, and they came up with a brilliant business idea. So So it's cuddleparty.com if people want to learn more about that. And I'm a certified facilitator. There's something like 130 of us around the world that are trained to do this particular workshop. So so that came to me. A lot of my ideas come to me in dreams, in meditation, while I'm driving, while I'm working out. I have 30 years and then some of experience as a teacher, as a therapist, a workshop facilitator. And some of it, and this might sound like a cosmic foo-foo kind of concept, some of it's channeled. It's just spontaneous. I don't always know what I'm going to say. Like when you and I planned this interview, yeah, we had some questions, and I answered some of them for you in advance. But I'm just riffing here. I'm just doing you know, jazz improv. So that's where some of it comes from. The only workshop I have to have outlines for is when I teach continuing education classes for other social workers, which I'm a licensed social worker too.
Otherwise,
I just order off the menu. So that's where some of the ideas come from. You know. The collective unconscious, is that what it is? Yeah. So I'm tapped into the universal flow, I guess you want to look at it that way.
Now, some of our listeners may be more of the, well, I was told when I have a business, I must set the business plan, I must follow the structure, it's all about processes, it's all about purpose. And, you know, you're actually suggesting getting ideas from dreams as opposed to getting ideas from understanding your competitors and checking out the environment. You know, what would be your response to that?
Yeah, well, both. I think it's a little both. I don't think anything is ever one thing. A lot of businesses are hiring intuitive people to train their staff, team building, ways of communicating, not just hard and fast business principles, because businesses are made up of people. We're not automatons. Mm-hmm. Yes, a business plan is a good idea. Yes, an outline is a good idea. When I teach workshops, even the ones that are spontaneous, I have an outline, and then sometimes I follow it and sometimes I don't. A good business person, I think, needs to be able to read people, to have good emotional intelligence, not just IQ, but EQ. So there are a lot of books about Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N, wrote a lot, written a lot about emotional intelligence. Some of the best leaders that I know in business have a high EQ. They know how to read people. They know how to connect with people. My father, who was a blue-collar guy from the get-go, knew how to work a room, he was my guide for being a connector. You know, he grew up in South Philadelphia. I think you're from the Philadelphia area.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
So you know South Philly, you know, like Rocky. We were talking about Rocky a little earlier. He grew up schmoozing, knowing how to talk to people, knowing how to connect with people heart to heart. So that's a skill. That's a business skill. Am I the most organized, linear, logical, left-brain business person? Nah. That was my husband's job. He was the left-brain guy. I was the airy-fairy cosmic foo-foo social worker. But you need both. You need both of those aspects, I think, to be a well-balanced business person. And what I don't know, I ask. I learn from other people that have skills that I don't have. And, you know, we can't possibly know every aspect of every business that we're interested in. So I pick the brains of people who know more than I do, whether they're younger than I am, whether they have I had an experience a couple of years ago where I was asked to edit a newsletter. It was a Cuddle Party newsletter. And the person that was the editor asked me to do it because he knew I had published a magazine. But I had no idea how to do the HTML code, how to work around that. I call it computer gibberish. So I had no idea how to translate English into computer gibberish and then back into English. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with it for a few hours with him. And I said, you know what, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know how to do this. So I thought, I started getting really hard on myself. And I said, oh, you've got a master's degree. You should know how to do this. And I said, but this is not what my master's degree is in. So I contacted a younger friend who's got an IT business, and Jason walked me through it. He said, we're not getting off the phone until, you know, we figure this out, and I'm sure I can help you. And he said, tell me what you did. And I did. He said, oh, you missed this step. And he said, try that and see what happens. And the minute he said it, I did it, and it worked. And I said, I'm really embarrassed to have to come to you with this. He says, why? This is not your area of expertise, but it is mine. So a good business person will know will have resources, who your go-to people are, mm-hmm. to help you with what you don't naturally know how to do. So I'm blessed to have a lot of people with a lot of skills in my life.
Wow, what a wonderful way to wrap up our conversation, because you've provided some nuggets of wisdom. I mean, one of my
Thank
questions
you.
Was going to be sort of lessons learned and what can people take away from
mm-hmm.
this energy, which is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
You provided a lot of energy. And this interview, I mean, in fact, in listening to you, you have actually provided an inner view of
mm-hmm.
your
yeah.
worldview,
yeah.
which is by divine design. So it all fits
design.
Together.
Yeah.
Kind of sparks some creativity in me that I'm not sure. Sometimes in the evening I'm not as energetic. But I feel energized by our conversation,
yeah.
and I had the luxury of an extra half an hour with you before we got on the air.
Thank
so
you.
So now I'm cooking.
Yeah.
I'm like, woo, all
okay.
right.
So what are you going to do? How has this inspired you? And you know, if you're listening, ask yourself, if you can take what we talked about, how will you apply it to your dreams and desires? Because there's nothing that you, I mean, everything that you've ever wanted, it's been an idea in your mind first. Everything you've ever created and everything you've ever manifested in your life, it's first been an idea in your mind. So start with that seed,
right.
feed it, water it, nourish it the way you would any garden, and watch it blossom.
Wow. Wow. Hedy, would you share one
Thank
more
you.
Time where
mm-hmm.
people can find out about you, and then
yep.
we're going to wrap up before Blog Talk does its thing.
Kicks it off. Yes, I know.
Right.
So people can find
right.
me from my website, opti-mystical.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Hedy Weinstein, Hedy Weinstein, and on Facebook, same thing, Hedy Weinstein. So I am grateful to have been interviewed, to have both been interviewed and interviewed, I-N-N-E-R.
Right, right.
Interviewed by you. I never thought about that. I'm a wordsmith, so I'm going to use that. I'll credit you with that. So
okay.
I thank you so
okay.
much for the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Lots of energy, lots of wisdom, and just really a wonderful conversation. So thanks
thank
for
you.
Being inspiring. Have a great evening, and we're just a day or so away from Thanksgiving, so
yes.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday.
Thank you. I will. I'm grateful mm-hmm. for a lot of things, and thank you so much for your generosity with having me on the show.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Okay.
Well, folks,
take care.
There you
take
have
care.
It. Conversations, significant stories, significant conversations, and significant insights in how you can be designed and how you can really bring out your inner bliss and follow some of your dreams. Our guest today was Hedy Weinstein, and her company is called By Divine Design. Continue to join us on Significant Business Results Radio. Have a great evening.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.